off the ball
rugby.
There is no price, there's no World Cup, there's nothing that can replace your health. There's nothing bigger in the game of rugby than keeping your players safe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. Coming up, television again shows an interest as two Irish sides prepare for Conference League playoffs. We preview tonight's FAI Cup action. Eddie Howe provides the latest on Alexander Isak's supposed strike at Newcastle. And Keith Andrews is to break Brentford's transfer record as he looks to bolster his own attack. But first today, the first leg of Shelburne's Conference League playoff with Linfield is set to be screened by RTE. Neither the national broadcaster nor Virgin Media opted to screen either leg of Shell's Europa League qualifier with Rijeka. The Irish Times reported that that decision was down to budgetary constraints, while also claiming RTE were disappointed that the Talca Park leg of their Champions League qualifier, also with Linfield, only attracted an average audience of just 120,000. RTE and Virgin's stance regarding Shell's second leg with Linfield in the Conference League is not yet known. The Windsor Park leg of the Champions League qualifier there was restricted to the BBC iPlayer. The first legs of those Conference League playoffs will be played on Thursday of next week, with Shell's able to play at their own Talca Park home. The same night, Shamrock Rovers will be in the Azores to play Portuguese side Santa Clara. They drew 0-0 with Larne last night, but their 3-0 win in Ballymena in the first leg saw Santa Clara advance at the expense of the NIFL Premiership Club. Two goals from Rory Gaffney either side of the break against Balkany at Tallaght Stadium last night helped Rovers to a 4-0 win on the night and a 4-1 aggregate victory against the Kosovan side. Josh Honahan and Graham Burke got the others. After the game, Gaffney spoke to OTB's Jonathan Higgins.
Did you feel like one of those games you were on it from the start?
Yeah, yes and no. You know, I thought I started off well. A few bad touches, though, and thought I got in for that goal.
So close, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd love to see it back. I'm sure I actually will get a chance to see it back, but that's the, I suppose, the beauty of VAR. It just rules it out straight away, and if it happened the VAR side, you know, we'd have had VAR to protect us as well.
But you got that good moment just before half-time. It was a huge moment.
Yeah, lovely bit of play. Matt Healy chips the ball over the top for Danny. Danny drills it low and hard at the goalie, spills it, and I suppose right place, right time.
I had to laugh. There was a bit of a personal battle out there as well between yourself and one of the defenders. It's, you know, it's top level sport.
Yeah, well, he made a great tackle, I suppose, a couple of minutes earlier for the kind of time I got in on goal, and he gave me a bit and standing on my feet and all that. So okay. I suppose when I hit the back of the net, I just wanted to go over and remind him where was he then.
Well, he certainly knew he was a couple of minutes in the second half with that beautiful back heel. You enjoyed that one?
Yeah, it was a nice finish, to be fair. Again, Matt Healy chips a lovely ball over the top. Conor Malley plays it back, and I hadn't much, I suppose, much. I couldn't do much with it, and I just tried to scoop it back towards the goal.
As a team performance, you know, Josh's goal will probably get the highlights. Just a stunning effort, wasn't
it? Yeah,
as well?
Unbelievable. Great strike. He's been a great, I suppose, a great signing for us and a big player. He probably came to the club as a centre half, and he's out there in wing back. He's chipped in with goals and assists the last couple of years.
That was a special night. How does it rank? Are you always like, I used to hear Jordan Henderson say, what's his favourite night? The next one. Is that kind of the mentality in the dressing room?
Yeah, it's, you know, a quick turnaround even to Sunday now, FAI Cup. Everybody wants to be in the Aviva come, I suppose, the second or third week in November. So we know we have to take care of business Sunday, and then we'll move on to focusing on Santa Clara next week.
Yeah, that's a long trip, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a flight to Lisbon and a stopover and fly off to the island then, wherever it is.
Do you enjoy the European football? Obviously, I would imagine it's one of the reasons why you wanted to come back here to Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, they are probably just the highlight of the season. You don't know who you're going to play against. You don't know what level the opposition is going to be at. So there's always that bit of nervousness going into the ties. But, you know, they're great experiences.
And let's hope there's a lot more to come. It's the playoff now. Group stage football is almost within touching distance.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake, isn't there? So we'll just, I suppose, do what we can do anyways.
Rovers manager Stephen Bradley also spoke to Johnny and addressed Jack Byrne's status within the club.
Stephen, your side have had some brilliant nights over the years, but that feels like top of the pile, an outstanding performance from your side.
Yeah, it was a special night, a special performance. We all knew we had to go up some levels on last week. The players knew that, we knew that as a group. And tonight they were outstanding, you know, from first minute to last. Everything about them, they looked like a top side tonight, and a really, really special night in Tallaght.
You spoke in the build-up about patience, and I suppose going back to the muscle bank of games gone by, I'm thinking of that Celia game this time last year, but how important was that experience and that calmness to getting through tonight?
Yeah, we spoke with that as a group. We didn't need to win the game in the first 10 minutes. It didn't matter if it was the last 10. We just needed to make sure we didn't give them anything to hold on to. And like I said, that's experience and understanding and know-how of what it needs, these games need. And like I said, the players, to a man tonight, were outstanding.
Talk about players with experience. Rory Gaffney was rolling back the ears tonight. A phenomenal performance.
Yeah, unplayable. Rory, literally unplayable. He had two, possibly could have had three, and possibly had a penalty. He was unplayable. He was different class.
It's a remarkable story for him as well, given this time last year, not involved in the squad and then didn't have a contract. It's a phenomenal, I suppose, it's a credit to the summary to his character that he's fight back and put in a performance like that.
Yeah, it's all credit to him. His injuries had last year, but he was adamant. He was pre-season, he was ready to go. And if Rory says that, you trust him. And he's come back and he's been unplayable. He's... I said yesterday himself, Matt Healy, Graham Bourke, Dawson Devoy, four best players in the country this year. And to say that about Rory, considering the injuries he had last year, is an incredible achievement from him.
For me, while his second goal was an outstanding finish, the little backheel, it was the press prior to that was the most pleasing. Squeeze him over the left, comes across. Your press was really on it tonight.
Yeah, it was. There was little moments early on the first half, we were a little bit off. But once we tidied it up, we knew we'd get chances off it. And we just had to trust it. The spacing in the second half was a lot better. And we caused them all sorts of problems.
Josh's goal wasn't half bad either, was it?
No, he's been our best player over the two legs, Josh. He was brilliant over there. And tonight he was unplayable. The goal was a hell of a finish. But I thought he was unplayable. We got him out because he was booked. But I thought he was brilliant tonight, Josh.
Hamer was up beside us in the director's box. Surely that phone call is inevitable right now.
Yeah, look, I've spoken to him many a time about Josh, and he also thinks he's a high-level player. So if he keeps performing like that, Josh, I've no doubt Ireland squads are just around the corner for him.
And then the next journey continues. It's a long first away trip. I think guys were joking it's nearly closer to Miami than it is to Portugal. But Santa Clara, they're a fairly talented side. It's a dangerous proposition ahead.
Yeah, it is. A tough game. They've got 17 Brazilians in their squad, so you know they're a proper outfit. Like you said, it's a difficult place to get to. But look, we've done all this before. We know it's going to be a difficult game, difficult journey. But that's part and parcel of European football. We got to go there and make sure that we're ready to go. And we bring the game back to Tala, because we bring the game back to here, we can beat anybody.
And just lastly, in a complete contrast, you spoke in the build-up about Jack Vern not being involved, not an injury. Is there any update on that? Are we likely to see him again?
We just had an unbelievable performance tonight with the players. That's all I'll be speaking about.
Five quarter-final places are up for grabs in the FAI Cup tonight, with tie of the night at Dalymount, where Bohemians face Sligo Rovers. Bows have played Sligo twice in the league so far this season at Dalymount, winning 4-2 in April, while a late equaliser from James Clark at the end of June saw Bows cancel out an Owen Elding screamer. Patrick McLean is available for Sligo tonight after his controversial red card against St Pat's was rescinded, but they'll be without the cup-tied James McManus, who of course is on loan from Bows. Sligo manager John Russell spoke to Sligo's David Goulden.
Yeah, massive game. Everyone's in good spirits. We're looking forward to it. We always bring a big travelling support up to Dalymount, and I'm sure it'll be no different tomorrow. And it has that extra special feel when it's a cup game.
And James McManus will be a big miss. How will you adapt without him?
Yeah, he's been brilliant since he's come in, but obviously we knew when the draw was made that he'd be out. But we've got a really good squad. We've brought in some real quality in the window, and coupled with the players that we've had from the start of the season, everyone's chomping to get in the team for tomorrow night, and hopefully we can play to our best.
And we were held to a late draw last time out. What did you take from that game that you'll bring in tomorrow night?
I think every game takes a life of its own. We've played Bows a couple of times this season. We know the strengths they have, but for us, it's about focusing on what we can bring to the game. I know we've got real threat. We have ability to score goals home and away. And we know we'll have to be defensively solid tomorrow night, but we're really looking forward to it, the challenge.
There's a Munster derby at Turner's Cross tonight, where Cork City take on Waterford. Leasiders manager Ger Nash says a win tonight could be huge for their season.
Yeah, look, for me, it's really simple. Every game you play, we want to go and win it and get something from the game. So the process for me is the same for the staff. It's the same. We prepare the team to win. We hope we win. We work that way. So we're desperate to win, desperate to go on the run. And yeah, that atmosphere, the change in the week because it's a cup game, is slightly different. So look, when the next round of the cup comes around, we want to be in the hat, that's for sure.
Nash's Waterford counterpart, meanwhile, John Coleman, was under no illusions about the scale of tonight's task.
Yeah, I think it's a massive game. People can say, oh, we'll say that every week, but this really is the biggest game of our season. I've got a seat to it as such, and the players have been left in no uncertain terms, the gravity of the game. And I'm sure they're feeling exactly the same way. So, obviously local derby as well. They could feel maybe a little bit aggrieved that they didn't get something out of the game at the RSC. Or they could have been a couple of goals up early on. In the end, we did run out okay in the end. And, we could have scored more, but they've been on a decent run of form, playing against decent teams. So we're going to have to be at our very best. And I say this every week, but that's the harsh reality in Irish football, particularly when you're not competing with the Dublin clubs to bring in the ready-made players, the other nutty turkey. So, you've got to work with the players that you've got. And as I said before, time and time again, we couldn't have a better group of lads who want to take things on board and want to work hard. And we're going to have to show our passion, our fights, like the fans will, because I know our fans will travel and the numbers, they'll be brilliant. And we've got to reward them, and we've got to pay that back and try and give them something to cheer about. You can't guarantee anything in football, but the one thing I'd like to guarantee is that we're going to run our hearts out on Friday and hopefully get the right result. But that can be down to a lot of variables. But the one thing that shouldn't be down to variables is our work rate and our efforts.
There's a Galway derby at Eamon DC Park where Salthill Devon play Premier Division side Galway United. Galway captain Greg Cunningham says they must be wary of tonight's opposition.
I think it's important for us to take this as if it's another sort of league game for us. We need to go in with the right mindset, because if you don't, that's where you can get chinned, And like I said earlier, we know the qualities that Salthill possess, and regardless of where they are in the season, they're going to be up for it. And there should be a good crowd up at the end of DC Park, so we need to make sure we go about it in a professional attitude and get the job done. Like you said, these players have played at a very high level, the quality's there. And I suppose every time you step onto the pitch, you got points to prove, and I'm sure they're going to feel that way too. I know that they are probably a different stage of the season than we are, but they'll be fit just as we are and hoping for a good game.
And there'll be at least two First Division clubs in the hat for the quarterfinal draw, with Finn Harps at home to Bray Wanderers tonight, while Kerry play Cove Ramblers. Eddie Howe has confirmed that Alexander Isak is unlikely to be involved in Newcastle's opening fixture of the Premier League season away to Aston Villa tomorrow lunchtime. The Swedish striker is still training away from the rest of the Newcastle first team as he looks to engineer a move to Liverpool before the transfer window closes. Isak hasn't featured at all in Newcastle's pre-season, with Howe admitting today it has had an impact on their preparations.
Certainly early pre-season, I haven't shied away from the fact that was a difficult period for the players, for us, because any change is always difficult to react to. And I think you could see a bit of that in some of our early pre-season performances. But I think the players are really strong mentally, a really tight group. And they've really come together in the latter stages of pre-season. The mood's been good, the spirit's been good, the performances have been better. So although it's not ideal, and we know that, I think the group's reacted really well.
Howe also admitted they are actively trying to sign a striker, with the club also needing to replace Callum Wilson. Jan Wisse has reportedly been given permission by Brentford to speak to Newcastle today. That's down in part to Brentford agreeing a club record fee for Bournemouth attacker Dango Ouattara. In all competitions last season, the Burkina Faso forward scored 9 goals and provided 4 assists across 37 appearances. A £42 million outlay would shatter their previous record of £30 million paid to Club Brugge just a year ago for Brazilian striker Igor Thiago.
Nottingham Forest have also been busy in the last 24 hours in the transfer market. They've agreed a €45 million fee for Ipswich attacker Omari Hutchinson. Ipswich have doubled their money on the 21-year-old within 12 months of making his loan move from Chelsea permanent for £20 million. Forest have also agreed a £30 million package with Manchester City for their young playmaker, James McAtee. Forest will also look to complete the €30 million signing from Rennes of France international striker Arnaud Kalimuendo. The 23-year-old has 53 goals and 18 assists to his name in 153 Ligue 1 appearances. Kalimuendo was part of Thierry Henry's France attack that took silver at last year's Olympic Games in Paris. And finally, Brighton boss Fabian Hertzler says he's very confident midfielder Carlos Baleba will be staying at the club. The Cameroon international has been heavily linked with a move away from the Amex during this summer's transfer window, with Manchester United reportedly keen on the player in a bid in excess of £100 million being prepared. But Hertzler is sure Baleba is ready to go for this weekend.
And his future at the club. From what you know, how confident are you that he will be a Brighton player come the end of the window?
Very, very, very confident.
Yeah?
Yes.
Any particular reason why?
Just my belief.
Okay. How has he been over the last few weeks? Obviously, he's picked up this knee injury. So, firstly, is he in line to play tomorrow? But also, how is he been dealing with this? He's just 21 years old. There is a lot of noise. How's his state of mind as well as his physical fitness?
I didn't see any change. He only changed his hairs. So I think that was the only change he made the last 2 weeks. But overall, he seems to be in a really good place. He's enjoying it with his teammates. He's enjoying it being a Brighton player. He's very grateful to have the process he had in the last season. So I didn't see any big change. And he's an option to start for tomorrow, yes.
That's it for today's Football Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Football feeds to keep all of these podcasts coming your way across the weekend when the Premier League season gets underway. Off the Ball is live this Sunday from the City Ground and from Old Trafford. First up, it's Nottingham Forest versus Brentford with Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr on commentary. Manchester United's meeting with Arsenal will follow that with Nathan Murphy joined on the mic by Keith Tracy as we begin four more years of Premier League commentaries on Off the Ball. And look out next week for a very special series of podcasts coming from the John Giles Tribute Night that took place on Thursday night at Dublin's Sugar Club. That's all to come next week. Until then, have a brilliant weekend.
It's embarrassing. It's a disgrace. That's what it is, a disgrace.
Oh, you are a bloody disgrace! For missing the target from there, you want bloody shooting!
He's a disgrace. He's a disgrace to the game.
Ah, that's putting it too strong.
That's why, together. Hold on a minute.
A disgrace as a decision. If you are not guilty, you are not punished. So it's also a disgraceful decision.
Jose Mourinho's just had some strong words to say about it, saying it was a disgraceful decision. What's your response to that?
Yeah, maybe.
Sorry, he was trying to come in there.
And we were robbed in Paris. It was disgraceful what went on
That's
in Paris.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Puts his hand to his ears. He's like shutting the critics up. That's embarrassing. He's been a disgrace the last few months at Man United. He thinks he scores then he's going to shut his critics up.
Your point, please.
Yeah. I was harsh on Maguire. And I definitely crossed the line with Harry Maguire. Yeah, and I apologise to him.
Hold on a minute now. You jumped over the fence, baby.
Did they not know?
Please ask for help. Because it's an absolute disgrace that this goal is allowed. It's an absolute disgrace.
I can't offer anyone any solace at this stage.
To allow it to happen, I think it's a disgrace.
Okay.